As you know, I record these in advance before I release them throughout the week, which saves my workload and it gives you less to have to sit and listen to. You know, 10 minutes, you know, staggered, you know, throughout the week is great. And plus it helps me focus on the topic at hand. But as I'm recording this, in less than an hour, I may have a TV interview with a Taiwan television broadcaster. I'm an American. I talked about that yesterday, but that's in the back of my mind. And I hope that that does not diminish the quality of this podcast. My apologies in advance. I've also been doing some technical preparations to make sure that the equipment is working and so forth, because they're going to have to do video conference because I'm out of town. So as I'm going through this, I'm looking at Pacific Daily Times and what to do with that and what the future vision of that should be. You know, it's possible by the time you're getting this, it just occurred to me, it's probably election day and you're listening to this on election day. So maybe I'll get into the election a little bit, but I think that after the election is going to be a little bit more important, but know that it was recorded in advance, all of it, the whole week. All right. So I'm thinking about Pacific Daily Times in the future. There is a very good chance that I will be, I mean, the verbal agreements are already there, but Pacific Daily Times will be sponsoring a Taiwanese athlete for the Olympics. And I'm not going to get into the whole long story of how it all developed. Suffice it to say that it is a long story and it did have to develop. But I'm asking myself the political question of what to do with Pacific Daily Times. Pardon me if this sounds preachy, but it is the mark of intelligence to talk about an idea without also pushing people to agree with you. And it is equally the mark of intelligence to listen to an idea you disagree with without feeling pushed when you're not being. And you are intelligent. So this is not me preaching Bible at you. But there is a very good story we can learn from in the Bible. And I feel like I'm in this position socially. In Israel's story in the desert, one of the times they needed water, God told Moses, take your staff, tap the rock, and water came out. Years later, they needed water again. They were whining again. And God told Moses, speak to the rock. Well, Moses didn't do that. He went up and he started tapping on it with his staff. Now, as I've discussed this story with my mother, who also went to a Bible school, it's just interesting, some of the connection that we have, mother and I. How did that play out? Why was he tapping it with his staff instead of speaking? Look, in life, we can learn from the rod, the stick, or we can learn from the word. And wisdom prefers to learn from the word rather than from the rod and the life lessons of hard knocks. And the first time God used the stick to hit and do a miracle and give Israel water. Second time God wanted Moses to speak. And there could have been a powerful lesson in that. But Moses took the stick, and I think he was trying to compare the method of the miracle before. Last time it was a stick, but watch this, I'm going to use talking to do it. And he was adding to it. He was throwing in some hamburger helper. He wasn't serving it up straight. He was sprinkling his own little ideas. Water came out of the rock anyway, and he hadn't spoken. And for that, God punished Moses and told him, you will not go into the land, the promised land, but you will die just before Israel walks in. And that made Moses very sad. Moses had to learn patience. And I'm facing decisions like that. I know a lot of very dirty secrets about a lot of people. And many of them I can prove. And others of them I can give tips that would lead to breadcrumb trails of evidence that others could find. If you want to have access to information in your life, if you want people to tell you things, if you want life and circumstance and God and the universe to bring information to you, first, you've got to be responsible with it. You don't start fights with information. You see something bad, maybe you shouldn't do anything. Maybe people are making a mistake and they'll figure it out. And this is a test to see if you're going to go use that to try to be famous as some whistleblower that everybody eventually hates. Many times we get little bits of information. We go become a tattletale or something. Right. So, yeah, I don't want to be that guy. But at the same time, I see a lot of garbage going on. And I'm looking at what's happening, and this is affecting the election. Look, Trump is going to win this election. And I've talked about that at the Symphony, Pacific Daily Times, the Symphony editorial podcast. It's in the All podcast of mine. Maybe you're listening only in Taiwan special. In the All podcast, you'll get the Symphony podcast. And I told you what's going to happen with the election. I'm convinced Trump is going to win because incumbents win. Only on that basis. Obama was reelected. Clinton was reelected. I wasn't happy either time, but it happened. Incumbents win. And even in Taiwan, the incumbent wins. So those are my thoughts on the election. Focus on this, on something else here. Surrounding the election is war with China and police brutality. And I'm wondering, as I'm getting ready to really start pushing Pacific Daily Times as a brand and try to actually make it a thing, I'm asking a socio-political question of who in Sam Hill is running Washington. And I'm asking a question that you're probably not going to hear anyplace else. Why is it that no one is going to the mattresses to punish the bad police? The 1% bad apples get in the headlines and ruin it for everyone else. Kalamazoo police did a wonderful job of not being the main event, as one of their leaders, I don't know the title in Kalamazoo, Michigan, called it. He said, we are not the main event. We're going to stand back and we're only going to get close if crowds have a problem and need us. But we're not going to get too close to crowds and become the main event. That's great. And I believe that's a lot of police. But where are the police to stop the bad ones? Where are they? We are not turning on the sirens and stopping traffic to stop the police brutality. We're not doing it. Why? You don't increase trust and confidence in police by ignoring the bad problems and saying we love the good guys. You've got to stop the bad problems. We must take action and it must be drastic. And we need to regain trust in the police by severely punishing the bad police, which we are not doing. And I'm just wondering why no one's doing that. It's either, well, we love, yeah, there are bad police, but we really love the good ones. Police, police, yay, yay, police. Or else, defund all police. Just all of them. Seriously? People believe that those, either one of those, is going to solve the problem? No. We need to take the bad police and publicly hang them within a week of the crime if there's enough evidence, such as we have with George Floyd. There needs to be a law so that George Floyd would have led to those two police officers being hanged in the public square within a week. All right. At the same time, I'm wondering why we're not stopping traffic to pass a law like that. I'm also asking something else. Why in Sam Hill is America so cozy with a country in the Pacific Ocean that disrespects foreigners, Americans, Europeans? If a Taiwanese citizen gets a work visa in America, 5 years later, that Taiwanese has an American citizenship with a passport shoo-in. But an American going to Taiwan, no freaking way. They let companies attack people and take away their rights. Even if they don't get attacked or they manage to survive, Taiwan still won't let them have citizenship and make it nearly impossible. Why are we not requiring Taiwan to solve that problem first? We just want weapons sales? What the heck is going on in Washington for international relations and with police? And this I'm asking as I'm developing the Times. See you tomorrow.